Hallelujah. Okay. Hello, everyone. Okay, before we kick off with the next teaching, I just want us to just bow our head in reverence and just pray. Amen. Father, we just thank you today, oh God. We thank you for your word, Father God. Father, we pray today, my God, that our hearts will be open, Father God, to your teaching. Holy Spirit, as you move amongst each one of us, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding today. Breathe on us so that we may understand, that we may see, that we may hear, that we may feel, Father God. And Father, as we are learning about your revelation today, Father God, I pray, Father God, with each teaching, that revelation will be open to your children today, that they will receive, Father God, in their hearts from you personally today, oh God. Father, permit me this time to decrease as your Holy Spirit even teaches me today, as I minister your word, Father God, through teaching today, Father. I give you all the praise, we give you all the honor and all the glory. Have your way today, in Jesus' perfect name. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, last week we opened up with the Christian doctrine, and today I'm going to continue with our second teaching, and this one is the doctrine of revelation. But what I want you to know is that I'm not teaching from the book of Revelation, because sometimes when we hear the doctrine of Revelation, we think, oh, you know, she's going to talk about the pale horse and the black horse and, you know, all that and get really deep. But this is just the doctrine of Revelation. We're actually, the teaching that we're doing over these weeks is just about doctrine, so that we can understand what the doctrine of Jesus Christ is. It's important that we have the true doctrine that comes out from the Word of God. Amen? Okay, you've got your handouts with you, so if you just follow through with me. And I believe there should be a sheet going around that you may put your names on it. We want to know who's coming each and every week. Yeah, if there's not, if someone can send a sheet around that you can put your names on. If you weren't here last week, can you also give us your email address, any contact information? Amen? Amen? Amen, right. Okay, all right then, I'm just going to begin with the doctrine of revelation. The God of the Bible is one who reveals himself to his creation. God creating man with mental and spiritual faculties indicates his intention that man should know him. Right? He's given us a faculty so that we know. He's given us spiritual faculties. He's given us mental faculties that we can know him and we can also know one another. His intention is that man should know him. However, since the fall of man, these mental and spiritual faculties that we've been given have been dull, and he cannot of himself discover God. So what it's in essence saying is that because of the fall, those spiritual faculties that Adam had possessed has been dulled. When this disobedience took place, we were darkened. Yeah, we became dull to the things of God and to the relationship with God. Amen. So God, in his grace and love, he has taken the initiative by giving a progressive revelation of himself, consummating in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God knew that our senses got dull, so he took the initiative. Yeah. So God is doing the wooing. He's doing the revealing to us. Yeah? Not of ourselves, but he is doing us because he desires that relationship with all of mankind. Man can only personally know God through Christ. Despite what's going out in the world, the isms, the schisms, and everything else, people can only know God through Christ, not through Buddha, not through Confucius, no other way, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. It has always been God's doctrine. It's always been what he wanted to do. It's been there from the beginning and to the end to reveal himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, just got reminded here that during the teaching, afterwards, when I've finished, right, there will be time for questions. Amen? So if you have anything that's wondering that you want to ask, yeah? And like Pastor said last week, I do not possess to know all the answers. And if I do not know them, I shall surely say or call upon someone that may well know it, give you opportunity. Amen? Okay. The definition of revelation. The Greek word apokalypsis means an uncovering. You know, when I was going through this, I realized that, you know, when we see on TV, we see the word apocalypse, it always means something that's just, almost like revelation at the end. This is big or powerful breaking up of everything, and the earth is just breaking up. It always seems to talk about something like that. But when you look at apocalypse, it means an uncovering, to uncover and to unveil something. It best represents it, what is meant by revelation. So what God wanted to do, he wanted to unveil our dull senses. Yeah? He wanted to unveil our eyes. Those things that got covered and darkened in the fall, God wanted to unveil himself to us once again. Most dictionaries define revelation as a disclosure or an unveiling, to make something hidden, something known, hidden or secret. So God wants to make something known that is hidden or secret. It is used in this sense. If you look at Ephesians 1 and 17, that should go up on the screen. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians reads, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, that means God is doing it. He's taking in the initiative once again to give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So if you don't have God, you don't have the spirit of revelation and you don't have the spirit of wisdom, despite what the world wants to say to you. Amen. In theology, revelation refers to God unveiling himself to man. God unveiling himself to man. God doesn't avail himself to the fishes in the sea or the dogs or the animals. God chose man. He chose a special creation. He made us special. He made us so that he can have a relationship with us and reveal exactly who he is in our lives and what his purpose for our lives. When God created us, he created us with a purpose. And the purpose was what Adam first did. Adam walked with God. And God still, even when we are darkened in our senses, it's always been God's plan that we should walk with him, that he should be revealed as our heavenly Father. Amen? In theology, it refers to God unveiling himself to man and communicating truth to the mind of man, which he could not discover in any other way. No matter where you go to find the truth about creation or about God, you can go to books, you can go anywhere. Unless God reveals it to you today through his Holy Spirit and through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to discover God any other way. We have seen what's happened when people find God in other ways. People will kill in the name of God because they don't know God. Amen? People have other idols, Buddhas and everything else because they don't know God. But everybody's got a sense of needing to have a relationship with God, and when they don't get it, they seek it in other places because the desire is there. God put it there because he wants them to know him. Amen. And you can't discover him any other way. People may say to you, oh, you go to that church and you learn about that. And the first thing that we always choose to do is we throw the color card. Oh, yeah, what, Jesus is white. And, you know, you people, you hear that all the time. So people want to throw you off. And sometimes if you don't know the true doctrine, you get thrown off. Bible says about being tossed through and froze. Some people could come, Muslims could come with some persuasive arguments. And if you don't know the true doctrine of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you can easily get swayed by what they say. Amen? There's no other way to have a relationship with God than Jesus Christ, because that's who he sent. Amen? It is imparted truth which could not be discovered by natural reasoning alone. Right? God's given us reasoning, he's given us sense, he's given us spiritual sense, he's given us a brain, he's given us all these things, but one thing he said is, we cannot discover him outside of Jesus Christ, outside of his word. We cannot discover God any other way except that he's doing the initiating. You can't read a book on five steps to being successful without God in the picture. Amen. You'll be successful all but for a time, but without God in the picture, it cannot be done by natural reasoning. Matthew 11 and 27 says, no man knoweth the Son save the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. There's God telling us again that we're doing the work. We're doing the initiating. We're doing it all. We take Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're working in harmony together, and we're revealing ourselves to you each and every day that you choose to know him or seek out to know him. Yeah? There's another scripture there, but if you take the time and you read the scriptures in your own times, amen? Okay. Why is revelation necessary? Okay. Man being made in the image and likeness of God has within himself certain faculties, we said earlier, which enables him to, and in those lines there, receive revelation. You have lines on your papers, you write, receive revelation from God. I'll say it again, receive revelation from God. These faculties set man apart from irrational creatures made by God. I said it earlier, God chose man to reveal himself to. He could have chose the animals, because God can do anything. He could have chose the fish of the sea. He could have chose the birds of the air. But he made man so special, yeah, fearfully and wonderfully, so that he can relate in his image, so that he can relate. Amen? Man is superior to animals. Despite whether people choose to bow down to an animal, make a cow or a goat or anything that they, man is superior to animals in that he is endowed with a will, with intelligence, with a conscience, and a spirit which can know and worship God. He's given us intelligence. He's given us a conscience. He's given us a will and a spirit. And I think sometimes it's where it gets to the will part, because we can use our intelligence to know God, but sometimes when it comes to the will part, that's where the struggle is. Yeah? Because God has given that to you. He's given you also a conscience. However, when man fell, so did all these faculties. Though he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he fell into a state of spiritual ignorance and darkness. Yeah? Because if you see earlier, it says that we have intelligence and we have a conscience. But when the fall happened, we fell into spiritual ignorance. All the spiritual things that we were open to or that were revealed to Adam in the garden, all those things just got darkened and we went into ignorance. Ignorance means lacking knowledge, not knowing anything. Yeah, you know, he knew once, and when we went into spiritual darkness, he no longer knew. It's called ignorance, yeah? And darkness. So he was no longer privy to the light of who God is, to the light of what he wanted for his life. He went into darkness. In the fall, man became totally depraved in spirit, soul, and body. His mind, reason, and understanding became darkened. This is what happened to us in the fall. We became darkened, alienated from God. Our mind and reasoning became separate from God. So when it says darkened, it no longer saw the light of God's wisdom, it became darkened to our own understanding. Then there's sprung up urologies and your creation theories and all these theories that went out there, your Big Bang theories and all these things. These are man's darkened understanding, not wanting to find God. They darkened and they made all these suggestions, and then they take them into the schools and they teach your children, and they taught us about all these theories that are going on. But one thing that we don't realize is they still remain theories. Eh? Nobody said that this has become a fact. They're theories. But now we've got a world that's walking in. They said that truly believe that a Big Bang happened. Truly believe in these ologies and all these other gods, Zeus and all these other gods. They've been darkened, but they need to replace something because God had already put it in them to have a relationship with them. So they have that urge. We have that urge going on in us because we desire a relationship with God that He desires with us. His mind and reason and understanding became darkened. He was alienated from the life of God and became an enemy. Oh, that's such a strong word. Of God in his mind by wicked works. If you put Colossians 1 and 21 on the screen. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. So when we became, when the fall happened, everything evil, where it says that we had the knowledge of good and evil. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all these evil things we began to know. We began to have some kind of understanding about them. They began to work in us when the separation from God happened. Yeah, Bible tells us he's alienated from the life of God and became an enemy of God. We became hostile towards God. When Adam hid in the garden, that was an act of hostility, fear and hostility. So we became separate. We didn't want to know what God had anymore. And that's come down through the generations. We became, it seems when we're reading Genesis, Adam just hid and we just leave it like that. He did. But all that comes with hiding from God. Everything that comes with hiding from God is everything evil. Every imagination is evil when you hide from God. Listen, we know that when we do something bad, what's the first thing we do? We stop going to church because we're hiding from God. That's a hostile act. We're going to get real today. It's a hostile act. You're being hostile towards God. You're doing something wrong. You don't want to get it right. So you become hostile and you hide from God. Yeah? Darkened in our senses. And we as Christians have to be careful because it so easily ensnares us because it's still in here. Right? Every single day, we got to fight the good fight. What did Apostle Paul say? Buffet and beat on his flesh each and every day because he knows what lies in it. Yeah? Spirit wars against the flesh. Flesh wars against the spirit each and every day. It's not just a one day thing. Pastor said today, you know, it's every day. We sang a song. It's every single day. We're warring for this. God is also interceding for us because he wants us to get it. He doesn't want us. He asked Adam why he hid. Why did you hide? He asked Adam the question. Eh? He's still asking us those questions today. Why are you hiding? Paul declared that the world, with all its wisdom, could not know God. Every ology, every Big Bang theory could not know God. And that no man could know the things of God without the Spirit of God revealing it to him. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to you, if you put 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 16, I'm going to read it. Amen. I'll start from 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, and that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So Paul's declared here that the wisdom that we have to possess comes from God. It cannot be given any other way. I said it earlier, you can search any books anywhere in the world. People write the theories, they write about things that they don't know about. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, despite what anybody says, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, your eyes will not be unveiled. Right? Because no one knows the mind of God or the things of God except the Spirit of God. Despite what anybody tells you, unless the Holy Spirit opens it out for you. There's somewhere in the Bible where it says that only by the Spirit of God can you say that Jesus is accursed, yeah? Only by the Spirit of God that you can actually utter the name of Jesus, irrespective of whether you hear people say the name of Jesus. It's a name. It's quite easy to say, but the depth of what goes on in your heart needs to come from the Spirit, because as you say the name of Jesus and it becomes a revelation, you wouldn't just be saying Jesus, you'll be saying Jesus. You'll be saying Jesus. It will come up. You will believe it. You will know it. You will be sure. You will be assured of it. If you just say Jesus on its own, and it means nothing to you, the Spirit of God is not in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, it will mean something. It will change something that's in you, because God gave Jesus a name above every other name so that it will do something in you. Yeah? He chose a name that will do something. I was thinking that even when you have somebody, I think it's Puerto Rico or something, they tend to have the name Jesus, don't they? But they say, what they say? Jesus, and that. But they just call that person Jesus or whatever. They just call that person by name. And when that Puerto Rican person, whatever, becomes, a Christian and they know Jesus, the way that they will say Jesus will be completely different from how they've called that person Jesus. Yeah? Something else will start to go on inside. Now, God has another way. He doesn't just give us revelation. So we just saw the necessity that we need revelation through the Holy Spirit. Now, when God brings a revelation, he brings it in a progressive manner. Yeah, he can't bring all revelation to you. He can't just bring Genesis to Revelation to you. You can say, I read the book from Genesis to Revelation, but you can't tell me that you know everything in it. Huh? Because God is a progressive God. You may well read it, but reading it all the way through, almost rotating like that, it isn't going to do anything for you except you study it, you have the Holy Spirit and you get into it, then it will start jumping out of you. You can't read it like a book. We cannot read it like a book. And that's not how God wants us to read it. He wants us to read it as a life instruction. Yeah, take something from it. If it tells you to do something, do it. Our biggest struggle today is if it tells you to give your tithe, give it. Yeah, because it's given you a book of instruction how to make your life successful. Divine revelation may be instantaneous or progressive. When viewed as a whole, it becomes evident that God's revelation has been given to man in a progressive manner, with each successive portion building on the previous. What that in essence is saying is that sometimes God will give a revelation instantaneous. We see that right the way through the Old Testament. We see where the revelations come, he's given it. We see it in Revelation when John saw in the third heavens. We saw some of these instantaneous things. And then as we go along, we see that God gives things progressively. Right? He gave Moses, this is Moses, he gave Moses a succession of revelations as he went on. The first one was the burning bush. And then he went on to give him successive revelations. Then he took him to, he told him about the staff that he had, what the staff represented. He took him and he did this miracle in front of him and he opened up the Red Sea. He couldn't do that all at once. And until Moses got to the Red Sea, he didn't know that sea would be parted when he held up the staff. Yeah? Because it was progressively given to him. Imagine if God... If we knew things, we're so boastful as human beings. Imagine if we knew something, and God, when he's walking with us, he doesn't want us, the Bible says, to boast in the Lord. Yeah, he doesn't want us to boast in ourselves that, that we can do this thing. I'm pretty sure the Bible tells us that Moses was a humble man. Moses was a humble man, so each as he stepped and he walked with God, and God would start to reveal things progressively to him, bit by bit. To him, he began to walk with God. And the only day that we can really catch the revelation of God is when we step with him. Step with him. That in life, we have step-by-step instructions to do things. If you jump from number one to number six when you're trying to put this box together, right, you're going to miss something vitally important. And what will happen is you probably have to open the whole box up and then decide to go back to number two, yeah, and start to build the box again. That's how God works. He works in a progressive manner, 1 through till 10. It's not necessarily 10, but I'm just using it for the sake of explanation. The Bible provides us with an overview of the progress of God's revelation. These may be viewed in two categories. The first one is general. See you first. And the second one is special. General and special. I'm going to talk about general revelation. This one could be really quite controversial in itself, but the Bible is the word of God and it's the truth. General revelation includes that which has revealed what God has revealed of himself to all mankind. Yeah? God revealed himself to all mankind, not just the people in this room, not just the people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God has revealed himself to all mankind. And one of the ways that he's done that is the revelation of God in nature. Creation itself suggests that there is a creator. The existence of an intelligent designer, the design, the beauty, the law and order, and the numerical structure stamped upon all created things point to an intelligent being above, beyond, and greater than all the created things. This being is God. Yeah? Everything starts somewhere. You cannot agree with a theory that says a big bang happened and everything seems to be in some kind of order. Yeah? Who's injected into matter the code to know what it's going to be? If you plant an apple seed near a pear tree, a pear seed, there will always be a pear tree and there will be an apple tree. The apple tree will never cease to be an apple tree because the code that's plucked, that God has inserted into the apple will make it an apple. No matter whether a man decides to make himself a woman, he is a seed of a man. He is a seed of a man. Today we're misinformed and we will call Bruce Jenner a woman. He is a man. His genetic code tells us that he is a man. God designed him to be a man because God doesn't make any mistakes. He's imparted a seed in him, and the seed was that of a man. Let's not get caught up with the system of this world. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He didn't try to convince us that he created the heaven and earth. He told us. He stated it as a truth and a fact. Yeah? He said to us, I created the heavens and the earth. He said to Moses to write Genesis and write it how the Holy Spirit has instructed you to write it. And the first thing he said is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't. There's no maybes, there's not where we think, there's not, it's a theory that God, it says that this happened, yeah? Psalms 91 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, right? Nature is God's book by creation, and it has a language and a speech which may be heard in every nation. All mankind is held accountable for their knowledge of the revelation of God in nature, because God made it so. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown them, he's shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. If you put Romans 1, 19 to 20 up on the screen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is that telling us? It's telling us that God has put himself out there in nature. Whether you profess to be an atheist, an agnostic, or anything else, God says, I have made known that I exist in nature. If you decide that you're not going to have a relationship with me, I want you to ponder me. I want you to look upon creation, the beauty, the numerical order, the structure, the colors, the variation. I want you to look upon that. He's saying that to the outside world, the world of unbelievers as well as believers. He wanted them to know him. We saw that earlier. He wanted a relationship. So he put creation out there so that man could wonder and know him. It says here, the invisible things of him. Right? Then it says, so man is without excuse. We have a way that we excuse people that, oh, but they don't know God. They don't know God. We excuse people that are not Christians. We excuse people that seek out something else. But according to this, it tells us that they're without excuse. God says, I've made something of myself known to them. We can argue that point. We can dispute that point, and no doubt we do. But when we ultimately come back to the word of God, it says so that they are without excuse. But we excuse people. But the Bible says they're without. He says, I've put myself out there. They are without excuse. I want them to wonder about me. I want them to see the beauty of all my creation. Look at all the colors. You know what? There are insects and things that we don't even know about right now. There are insects. There are so many wonders that God's put out there that we just don't tap into. More of him, and the more that scientists are finding things, you know that that's leading them to God. It's leading them because they get frustrated with their knowledge. They're thinking, what is this, and they're so frustrated in their knowledge that they and I think God's put that in them. He's put them so that they can seek him out, so that the only answers, I'm thinking of Genesis, right through the book of Genesis, it tells us everything. God's told us, I set the sun there. I set the stars there. I separated the waters from heaven. Everything that you can think of, I put the moon there so that it could be the night light. I put the sun for the daylight. And that's how I made day one. Day two, we still have 7 days. We ain't moved to 8 days. We ain't moved to 9 days. So from the beginning of creation, we ain't moved. They might have stuck July and August upon us, right? But we ain't moved from 7 days, because we can't move from 7 days. That's something of God that he wants us to know. You ain't moving from 7 days. You ain't moving from 24 hours. So God knew. The revelation of God in creation indicates that there is a God who is a creator, a designer, an architect, and a sustainer of all that exists. If you read those scriptures in your own time, amen. However, the revelation of God in creation is insufficient in its own, in that God cannot be personally known through it. So in general revelation, although it's a revelation and man is without an excuse, they can't personally know God. They can think about God. It can provoke something in them, but it cannot give them that personal relationship. So although they're without excuse to seek God, but what they're not without excuse is they need to find that relationship with God. The creation itself God made for the beauty of your eyes, but knowing him is for the beauty of your spirit and your soul. Creation reveals that there is a God, but does not bring man into contact with him. It reveals God's power, but it doesn't reveal his person. It reveals something of his character, because when you see the variations and the beauty and the colours and the different colours of people and flowers and everything else, yeah, it tells you something about God's character, but it doesn't tell you about his person. Being insufficient for a personal knowledge of God, nature was meant to point man towards further revelation of him. Like I said with the scientists, frustrated knowledge, pointing them towards God. It was designed to arouse. We know what that word arouse means, yeah? It means to arouse in man a desire to seek beyond it for one who made it. So what it's saying is it's making us want to find God. Who is this perfect, awesome, omnipotent person, being God, that has made all this design and put me to live in it? Who is it that made when I cut, it heals by itself? Who is this? Even in your very person, God has put something of himself so that you can seek him out. Yeah? You can self-heal. Everything needed in you to heal is already in you. You know, like when you have the flu, they inject the flu into you. Yeah, the injection is the flu, don't they? They inject that into you so that you can make the antibodies, etc., or the immune system, to get well. It's already in you. Because God wants us to have an understanding and to find him. He was to look at creation and then beyond it for those... He was to look at creation and then beyond it to those who changed the truth of God into a lie. Could you put Romans 1:25 up on the screen? And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Yeah? They corrupted the truth of creation, pointing to God as its creator, and replaced it with a creation that is God in itself. Yeah? They replaced it with a creation that's God of itself. So they pushed creation, being God's creation, aside and made every other thing their gods. In the Old Testament, we see it more than any other time, that they started to build idols, and they started to, because they have this need to find God, they started to build things that represented God. And when it says here that they replaced the creation of God with God itself, it's a small g there, with God in itself. Sometimes you see they bow down to this animal, this fish, this tree, because it's the tree, the nature of the tree that makes the idol, because the idol, more times out of 10, was wood, yeah, and or it was gold. It was the purities of creation they started to bow down to, fashioned it with their own hands and bowed down to it. Then another way for us to know that God in a general sense is a revelation of God in conscience. Conscience is designed as a knowing with oneself. It is an awareness of right and wrong with a compulsion towards doing things right. We have a compulsion to do things right, believe it or not. When God created man in his own image and likeness, he placed within man a conscience. Right? Anyone watch Pinocchio? Let your conscience be your guide. Yeah. This faculty was somewhat inoperative until the fall of man. Yeah, they didn't need a conscience when they were walking right. Yeah, because they were doing things right all the time. But when we got dark in our senses, God put a safe place, safe, thank you, in place, and it's called a conscience. When the violation of one commandment given to Adam and Eve, Genesis 2, set the conscience into motion, what was the first thing they knew? They knew they were naked. Yeah? Their guilty conscience drove them to hide from God when he sought them. Yeah? So the first thing they knew they were naked. God asked the question, didn't he? how did you know you were naked? Yeah? How did you know? He knew now that their conscience was seared. Yeah? That consciousness of good and evil was now about them. And their guilty conscience drove them to hide from God. How many times has our guilty conscience drove us to hide from God? Every time we do something wrong, something within us screams loud. I heard this teaching. It's saying that when you first start to do things wrong, your conscience is screaming very, very loud. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Are you not? Oh, God, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. Oh, yeah. The next time you do it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, I know this is wrong. I know this is wrong. The next time you do it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, God, I know this is wrong. The next time you do it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know this is wrong. You know this is wrong. Next time you do it, do it. The next time you do it, progressive. Yeah? That's how your conscience works. It starts screaming, and it's at the screaming point that God's revealing himself to you, because the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it. I know the end from the beginning. I know what's going to happen. Yeah? And that's not just for you believers. It's out there in the world. Everybody, believing or not, has a conscience. A psychopath has a conscience. He has a conscience because when he first did what he did, it was screaming, don't do it. No matter how seared his mind is, it was screaming, don't do it. What happens in a psychopath is very quickly, very, very quickly, that voice doesn't go in those stages. It jumps from, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Yeah, that's the difference. It jumps very, very quickly. I did mental health. And that's the thing that we have to read. Everybody has that. That man possesses the faculty of conscience is a universal accepted fact. You don't have to argue that with anybody. They know it. Man is a moral creature capable of knowing right from wrong. However, the question is, where did he get this moral sense from? Eh? This is a question for the world. Where did he get it? Some suggest that the conscience is socially, in that space there, it's socially. Socially acquired. That is, received from others by their instruction and example. Huh? Your parents tell you what's right from wrong. Your teachers tell you what's right from wrong. The government tries to tell you what's right from wrong. Everybody else is telling you what's right from wrong. But within you, within man, he knows it. Okay? And this is what God is revealing to man. Within it, I've put it in you so you know it. But some suggest that the conscience is socially acquired. The element of truth in this belief is that man's conscience can be socially conditioned. And in some ways, it is. Because people accept wrong today. Yeah? They accept wrong as right. So they have been socially conditioned. But there's still something in the very conscience of man that knows what's right from what's wrong. If you are a man that is attracted to another man, you act like a woman. If you are a woman attracted to another woman, you act like a man, because there's something within you that knows what God has designed for the world. I pray that has not offended anyone, but that is the truth of God. Yeah? You know that you know in your knower that you know. According to Paul, the Gentiles, though never taught the law, had the law written in their hearts. Right? Could you put Romans 2, 14 to 15 up on the screen? The law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. This law inherent within man suggests the existence of a supreme lawgiver who not only placed this law within man, but also holds him accountable to it. Romans 2 reads, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, in that they show the work of the law is written in their hearts. So what it's saying here is that the Gentiles didn't have the law, but they were practicing the law because it's inside them. They were practicing things that was right because it was already in them, but they didn't have the law to govern them. Yeah? They didn't have the law that governed over them. And because the law didn't govern them, yeah, but they were still doing things right. So the question is, they're asking here is, how did they know? If there was a supreme that has put that in them, how did they know what to do right without having the law which governed over them? Because it was already inherent in them. So the law, it's inherent within man, suggested the existence of a supreme lawgiver, a supreme lawgiver. We have the Ten Commandments. We have other laws that went out in Leviticus, etc. There's a lawgiver who has not only placed this law within man, but also holds him accountable to it. Right? So when you do something wrong, you're held accountable for it because something is in you that knows. Conscience, then, is a revelation of God, the ultimate lawgiver. The revelation of God in conscience is insufficient, like the other revelation of nature, in its own, for two reasons. First, though the existence of conscience does indicate the existence of a divine lawgiver, so it does tell us there's a God, it does not give a personal knowledge of him yet again. Yeah? Second, though the conscience is meant to be an internal witness to the law of God, that witness is fallible. Though sin, a man's conscience, through sin, a man's conscience may be corrupted, defiled, and even seared. You've got some scriptures there to read in your own time. Please read them. Okay. Corrupted, defiled, and seared. I'll say it once more. Corrupted, defiled, and seared. And only through the blood of Christ and the word of God can a man's conscience be restored to its rightful role. You see that in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Timothy, and in Hebrews. Please read them. Yeah? Only through the blood of Christ and the word of God can a man's conscience be restored to its rightful role, how it's meant to function. Yeah? Sometimes that screaming now from the Holy Spirit will come as a still, small voice. Right? God isn't screaming out like your conscience screams. He comes in the last place. He comes in the still, small voice and speaks to you. But that's when your conscience is alive to him. Yeah? The world's conscience has still got to, if they haven't got God, they haven't got Christ, their conscience is still screaming to them. But you and I who know Christ, it's in a still, small voice. When you're doing something wrong now, God doesn't do that screaming act anymore. He comes gently inside you and he says, don't do it. Don't do it. And although it's low, it's audible. You can still hear it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because he's now speaking to a conscience that knows him. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is speaking for a conscience that knows him. That's why he's forever correcting us, forever walking with us. Ain't that special? Amen. So, general revelation is that which is available to all nations of the earth. All mankind has general revelation of God in nature. All mankind, whether they're in Timbuktu, Outer Mongolia, all, man, this, it says all mankind. Yeah? General revelation is given to all mankind. The people with the bone through their nose, the people with the earrings that fall to the floor, all mankind has general revelation. Right? All mankind has general revelation of God in nature, in conscience, and in history. The second one, and the most important one for us today, is called God reveals himself in another way, special or specific revelation. That refers to those acts of God whereby, and in your line, He reveals Himself. Don't use up all the line. He reveals Himself and His will to specific persons. I'll read it again. He reveals Himself and His will to specific persons. Here are two examples of specific and special revelation. We're coming down to an end. The first special, I'm going to call this one special revelation, how God reveals Himself to us, is the revelation of God in Christ. The general revelations of God in nature, conscious and history are insufficient in that they do not reveal God's person. The special revelation, so remember they're all general revelation. The special revelation or the specific revelations of God in miracles and prophecies are also insufficient in that they only reveal certain of His attributes. And those ones that I'm talking about is when He parted the Red Sea and called all you know, the things that happened with Pharaoh, etc. Yeah? Special revelation, those are miracles and prophecy, and also insufficient in that they only reveal certain of His attributes, but not His entire personhood. With all this, there still existed the need for a more personal revelation of God. So God did all these miracles. He spoke to prophets. He prophesied to Daniel and Jeremiah about the future. And all these things were done where God was doing these miracles before these people. But there still needed to be something more. Because there were specific people. Some people saw God. Some people met God. God did some things through people. But they still didn't know Him. Yeah, they still didn't know Him. Some people did, like Abraham, that they had a personal revelation, that a personal knowledge. But God wants mankind to have this personal revelation of Him. This need God had met in Christ. Christ is the sum total of the revelation of God, including His will, His nature, His person, and His character. He is the embodiment of the invisible God. To look at Christ is to look at God. For Christ is the expressed revelation of God in human form. John 1:1 and John 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's from John 1:1 and John 14. Yeah? It's just mixed up the two together. Yeah? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1. And the Word was God. God was saying the Word was God. We know that the Word was Jesus. He was made flesh, and He dwelt amongst the people. We all know today that that was Jesus Christ. That was God's special revelation to the world about who He is. Everything that Jesus showed us throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, everything about God, He came, God wants to heal. He showed us God wants a relationship. He chose 12 people. He walked. He taught. He showed them things. He told them things about themselves. He caused them to change. All these things. He gave miracles to them. He told them how to get finances when they put the fish on the other side. He done all these things because Christ was showing exactly who God is. He was showing the attributes, the character. Forgive, He's telling us. Love one another. Love God first. Love one another. He was showing us the express desire of what God wants for us today. Every single thing that He did. God wants to heal. Sometimes we say, oh, I've had this illness for a long time. God, that wasn't it. God wants to heal because Christ went about healing. He went about healing. God wants to heal you. God wants a relationship with you. I can't hear God. I'm feeling far from God today. He's still speaking. Huh? Because Jesus went around and he was speaking every time. He spoke in parables, and then later on he started to speak. What he did with the ones that knew him, when he spoke this parable, what did he do afterwards? He started to tell them what it meant. And that's what he's doing for you and I today. The parables are out for the world, but when he's speaking in parables today, he's telling us what it means. Because that's what God is doing, revealing these mysteries to us today. John 1 and 18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Colossians 1 and 15, who is the image of the invisible God? This is the word of God. Hebrews 1:1-3, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the express of his person. Yeah? That's the first specific and special revelation of God is in Christ. Christ is the ultimate revelation of God because he is God. John 14 and 10. Yeah? He is the express revelation of God. That is the first special and specific way that God has revealed himself to you and I. The second and the final way, there's much more other ways, but just for the sake of time and the teaching, the second way that God reveals himself in a specific and special way is the revelation of God in personal experience. Now, this is personal to you and to I. The fact that God has given a revelation of himself indicates that he intended man to receive it. Didn't just reveal himself because he wanted to show off or because he just wanted to be a spectacle on display. Yeah? He intended man to receive it. Man being made in his image and likeness has been given mental and spiritual capacity this time to receive revelation from his creator. God has given us the capacity, we have the ability to receive revelation for him. It doesn't matter how big the revelation is. Once you know God in Christ, you have the capacity to know God. Yeah? The capacity to receive every revelation he's given. You know, I'm thinking about the book of Daniel. Daniel was sick, wasn't he? When God gave him these revelations about time to come and that. The Bible tells us that he was really sick. But at least he can contain it. Yeah, he had the capacity to contain it because God gave him the capacity. And that's what he's given to you and I today through his Holy Spirit. Not of ourselves, but he's given us his Holy Spirit to reveal these things, to make it easy for us. Yeah? However, the intellectual and spiritual parts of man's being, have to come under the illuminating influence of the Holy Spirit in order to receive the revelation of God. If you could put 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 on the screen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Yeah? Freely given to us. The Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples and also breathed his spirit into their spirits, thus quickening their mental and spiritual capacity for knowing God. Luke 24, read that one in your own time as well. Jesus breathed on them so that they had the capacity to contain all that they were going to hear. The same thing he's done for them is the same thing that he's doing for us who believe today. We have special revelation. The purpose of all revelation of God is that man may come to know God in a personal way. It's not enough for men to say they know God in nature, conscience, history, miracles, or even prophecy. Man must come to know God in an experiential way. He wants us to experience him. From the fall of man unto this day, there has been millions of people who have known God in a personal way. Hallelujah. The following are some examples of scripture. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to Abraham. You'll see the scriptures there. The Bible tells us Isaac knew God. God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. The Lord reveals himself to Samuel in a vision. Elijah knew God in a still small voice. And in the New Testament, the 12 apostles received a personal experience of God in Christ. Jesus is the special revelation of God to man personally, Matthew 11, 27. And Paul had a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Those are still the special ways today that God is revealing himself to you and I. He's given us a Holy Spirit so that that enables us to know him more in that personal way. So we are his specific and special revelation people that he's decided. He chose out the church to reveal himself to through Jesus Christ today. And I'll just come down to the end. Much of the revelation of the Old and New Testaments was drawn from personal experiences of the saints, still the same today. It arose out of revelation of God to them, in them, and then through them. The transforming power of the gospel today in the lives of sinners is an abundant testimony of the revelation of God in a personal way. Your testimony today, what he's done in your life today, the change in your character and your life, is a testimony of God's specific and special revelation in the believers of God today. Amen. Let us pray. Before any questions, I'll just pray and then we can have some questions. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching today. Father, we pray that we take away this revelation ourselves, that we will continue, Father, to seek you out for further special and specific revelation that you want to give to us. Father, I pray that today we will walk in a deeper way with you, that we will have deeper understanding and know that you desired before the foundation of the earth a relationship with us. Father God, even when we were far away, you took the initiative, Father God, to draw us closer to you, that we may have a specific revelation of who you are, what your will is, what your purposes and plans, not only for us, Father God, but for the world is today. Father, I pray that as we go from here today, Father God, that we will continue to seek you out, seek out your will and your purpose for the life, for our lives, for the lives of our family, our community, our church, our nation, and the world, Father God, all together, Father. We thank you and we praise you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.